The J&J.
Blog Talk Radio.
And there's the intro.
I have excellent news for the world. There's no such thing as New Wave. It does not exist. It's a figment of lame Kant's imagination. There was never any such thing as New Wave. It was a polite thing to say when you were trying to explain you were not into the boring old rock and roll, but you didn't dare to say punk because you were afraid to get kicked out of the fucking party and they wouldn't give you coke anymore. There's new music, there's new underground sound, there's noise, there's punk, there's power pop, there's ska, there's rockabilly. New Wave doesn't mean shit.
All right. This is Scene Coast to Coast. I am Jose, Joe the Applejack, or Joe for short. And with me tonight to my right is... Introduce yourself, guest.
Guest.
Hello.
You're going to make me introduce myself.
James Smith.
Oh, that guy. Your co-host.
That guy.
I'll shut up.
Our co-host for today. Our co-host for today is...
James Smith, who represents
James
the Southern
Smith.
Punk.
Yeah. All right, we're back today again. Patrick, normally my co-host, has the night off, or does he? We'll get into that in a minute. So this is a call-in show, guys. The number to that is 657-383-1554. Say it with me, James. The number again is 367-383-1554. And
I'm not gonna copy that. I'm not a robot.
Oh, of course not. No, tonight's show is gonna be a little bit different. Tonight, whereas normally Patrick kinda takes a hot seat. Speaking of Patrick, he's gonna take the hot seat. We have no guest tonight, so our guest tonight is my normally co-host, Patrick Starfish. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
What's
thanks
up,
for having me. James, hey, thanks for having me. What a twist.
Oh, thank you for joining. What a twist.
Yeah.
What a twist of events.
A little something different tonight, huh? That's kind of cool.
A little something different. What is the topic
is,
tonight, James?
Well, anyway... We're going to talk about how he is. He started out as a roadie, a stage manager, and a tour manager.
Exactly. So basically, we're going to be interviewing Patrick Starfish, Mr. Patrick Starfish, about his work in the music business, in the industry. So let's say we get this started, shall we? Patrick! How did you get started? When and where did you get started?
How you doing, guys? How you
good,
doing?
Man. How are you? Good. How are you?
When? I guess I can name bands if we want to get specific. 84, 85, thereabout, my latter high school years. Rage of Eden was a... A guy I went to high school with. Kind of early, started off as synth, kind of a synth poppy kind of band. You guys know I'm a synth pop junkie, but I kind of started hanging out with the band to go, hey, you want to be a roadie? So I became a roadie. I was, you're doing everything that the band doesn't want to do or doesn't have to do. Pushing amps, taking guitars, helping drum kits, and at that point, pretty much everybody was setting stuff up for themselves. I took a little break in between that, and then somewhere, that band had changed up a little bit, and it got a little more towards the, at the time, I guess you called it, kind of a gothic, a dark. Dark synthy kind of thing, had some, more guitar in there.
A dark wave.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. you know, then, you know, I got into the, you know, started doing keyboard tech and, you know, basically, you know, keyboard player, she goes back, go back to the green room. I go out there, I start setting up keyboards, and that was my gig. Started doing guitars, a little bit of guitar work, setting up the guitar stuff. Never got into the drums. And the thing that I found about was the drummers, that they all like pretty much like to set their own shit up. So that was pretty much one thing I've never touched. Drummers are, you know,
drummers are finicky.
Well, it's not like plugging in amps, and tuning guitars. It's a little more involved.
I've always found that when I worked on the road, drummers are finicky. If you're working with their kits, that's like their little throne room or some shit.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
So, real quickly, before we go on any further, again, this is a call-in show, guys. The number is 657-383-1554. One more time, the number to call in is 657-383-1554. That's seeing coast to coast. Guys, it looks like we have a call. Do you guys want to take a call? Or should we continue?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's take a call, man.
All right.
Don't make
man.
You guys
let's
do all the work.
All righty. So, you wouldn't mind doing the honors? Whenever you're
Bingo.
Ready. All righty. Here
Hello?
We go. This is Sync Coast to Coast. Is area code 955. Where are you calling from? What's
your name?
Me.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes. I can hear
Hello?
You.
What's up,
Hello?
Man?
Hello? Yes. Hey, how's it going?
This is Kenny, man. What's up?
Kenny Ross. What a surprise.
Oh,
what a surprise. The Kenneth Roy is here with us tonight.
That's right.
I know I recognize that voice for a second. Better late than never, yeah, absolutely. Patrick, it's Kenneth Ross on the page. It's on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And this dude knows me better than anybody else.
Sadly, I do.
Kenny from Louisiana.
Sure.
What's
what
your
you
question,
guys talking about, man? What's going on?
Not much, man. We're
What's
interviewing Patrick
about, man?
Tonight. So
We're
tonight
Patrick?
Is Patrick's in the hot seat. Yeah, he's talking about his work in the music business. His coming up as a road manager and touring and things of that nature. So, yeah,
I got a question for Patrick. Yeah, I got a question for Patrick.
Go ahead.
How did Patrick get the name Patrick Starfish?
Good one.
I think that was Jose. That was Joe.
That was me.
That was for the, Patrick's just kind of, Patrick and Jose Gonzalez, you know, it's just like, Patrick Starfish, you know, that's for the show. It's just for the show. This show.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to get started as calling you just Patrick Star because you're a star, man.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
So I guess
far,
that name's
but,
already taken.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Patrick definitely is a star in his own right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Ah, man.
I guess.
James, you're a little quiet there.
Well, I'm letting Kenny talk, man. I'm letting Kenny talk, dude.
Yes,
I got nothing else.
So.
I was just messing with y'all.
This is it. We're in the presence of a great one, a real one, so no. Thank you,
well,
Kenny, for calling.
Well, shit, man,
dude.
I had to at least once.
Had to at least once, absolutely. And I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for calling, Kenny.
All right, man, I'll catch up.
That's my brother right there, dude. That is
all right,
my
man.
Brother.
Catch you on the flip side.
Are you, You guys are going
to
cut him loose. You're just going to cut him loose, just like that. The only motherfucker that's asked any question, and you guys got to cut him loose.
No, no, he had to go, man.
No. I'm not cutting him loose.
I'm not cutting him loose, man. Don't tell me I'm going to look like that. No.
That's the dude that me and him used to fucking beat each other up while listening to punk rock music and getting drunk.
Oh, all right.
Other people get a little down different ways. So, anyhow, James, you got a question for Patrick? I know you've got a question for Patrick.
Oh, yeah, I do. All right. I've been on the road a little bit. I know you've been on the road a little bit more than I have.
A little bit.
What was, like, the best touring experience you ever had as a roadie?
Well, I just go back on this, the one in May. I mean, the whole thing was exceptional. The whole thing was, you know, it was a fucking blast. It was the longest tour that I've been on. We never really toured with a lot of these bands. I think it was taking out the Line Cutters for their first tour.
Nice.
I mean, these guys held up freaking great. They're holding up great on this tour they're on right now. Man, I wish I was on that one, but with the swap and whatnot, it's like okay, shit's coming up. But just the way they were treated by Conflict. You know, the band reaching out to them as individuals and reaching out to them as a band. But I think that there's a real kicker. The one that really sticks with me is when we went to Las Vegas, and we weren't supposed to be in Las Vegas. Bullhead City was the last show, you know. And next thing you know, we're going to Las Vegas, and nothing was really kind of planned out until the last minute. But we pretty much talked our way into the back door. And I realized, just kind of dealing with, throughout the end of that, realized what we'd actually gotten away with. Hey, my name's, Patrick with the Line Cutters, touring with Conflict. We know who to check in with and blah, 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 blah. Like, we were actually supposed to fucking be there. I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I was doing what I was normally doing. I'm really surprised we got in there, but... You know, they got up there and they did Conflict cut their set short, and long story short, they let Line Cutters go up, and they got one fucking song in at the end of Conflict set at Punk Rock Bowling in Vegas. That was pretty fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
That's fucking cool. That's fucking cool.
Can't help guys, Conflict, man. They've been around the block for a while, so for them to do that.
And they're back, you guys.
That says a lot.
Yeah, they're back in the States, Call it too.
Yeah,
man.
Final Conflict back in the States with a negative approach.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Yeah. So, yeah, again, one more time, guys. This is a call-in show. Sing Coast to Coast at number 657-383-1554. One more time, 657-383-1554, Sing Coast to Coast. Patrick, I have a question for you. Be jumping really, really, really forward. So, I mean, if you could sum up just one moment, if you can pinpoint to one moment that just kind of sums up life on the road, everything you've been through, which encompasses so many years that we're only just scratching the surface, what moment would that be? So, something that sticks out the most to you that you'll never forget. Just kind of change your life,
if you
will.
Like this last tour, is example. I mean, there's quite
sure,
a. Yeah. I mean, there's quite a few things that stick out from doing the city scene, the Bay Area scene, but to the tour. I think it was just get to know these guys a little bit better. I never met these guys ever before this tour. I had no idea, you know, what their personalities were. As a band, I think we related great as a band. And individually, getting to know the guys.
For sure.
And you know, getting that one-on-one with the guys and getting the opportunity to talk to these guys one-on-one and spend time with them, I think it's important, you know. I think you should get to kind of know who you're actually, you know, you're in charge of the show. You know, you got to get them there.
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot of responsibility in that. And the feedback that I got from the families and from the label, you know, and that sort of thing. But Joe, here's the real answer to that question. You know, something that really stands out. Our first guest when we started doing this show, Captain Cutie Pie.
Great guys, man.
Oh
yeah.
I believe that was the Sacramento show. The way that Eric Gomez, especially, dude. Shout out to Eric Gomez with Captain Cutie Pie. The way the band reached out to Line Cutters was just really fucking awesome. Took the time to come up and say hey, and then we ran into them at the IHOP, of all places. Where are we, you know, the motel. That's here's another story right there, real quick, as far as how we got the motels score. We saw him and Eric in the IHOP there with his girlfriend. We got some photos of them with the band. I think it's just the way that the local scene reached out, especially those guys. That's really it. The local scenes, man.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. Some great fucking bands.
Support your local scene. Yeah, support your local scene.
It was that local scene that was like embracing a touring band, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and absolutely support your local scene, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what it's all about. Of course. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that's kind of what some punk music to me is, just supporting the local scene, helping each other out, the fact that, you know, you go out of your way to put a band out there like that. Like Captain Cutie Pie with Line Cutters. That's, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. You know what I mean? It says a lot about those guys. When we had them on the show, Patrick, I mean, you know as well as I do. They were a small group of guys.
It's not just about supporting your local scene. It's also about supporting bands that are underground, trying to get themselves out there.
Yeah.
Exactly. Putting them on the map. Absolutely. You know, if you just reach one person, that one person is just, you know, they're always going to be grateful for it. So, that leads me to my next question, if you don't mind, James, to Patrick.
I don't mind.
Because, I mean, we're talking 84 to 2019, that's a 35-year span.
Hmm.
What are some of the, going back to the early days, talking prime days, punk, hardcore, whatever you want to call it, what are some of the best shows you've seen? I gotta ask you this. Some of the best shows you've seen, whether it's big bands, whether it's underground bands, just the best of the best for you. You'll always remember.
Outside the bands that I've worked with that opened for, I mean, there's a lot. The best, as far as the clubs that I've been to, and shows that I've seen, and this was in 1980, I guess, I think it's 1986. 86-87. Fender's Ballroom, Jane's Addiction opened for Peter Murphy.
Wow.
Oh, I actually remember that show. I wasn't there, but I remember hearing about it.
I was working at a place called Zed Records, shipping, basically old school. People would mail you a check and say, I want these stickers or these patches or whatever. Ship the shit up. And just before that show, guy comes in with a cassette. You all know what a cassette is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course.
It was the final mix of Jane's Addiction's Nothing Shocking.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And we listened to that front to back. But that show, Peter Murphy was great. Great show. Jane's Addiction at that time was just holy shit.
Phenomenal.
That was
phenomenal.
Like, holy shit. And this must have been a 7 foot tall, ogre looking skinhead just stomped through the pit. He wasn't going, he just stomped in the fucking circle in the pit. And I remember that.
That's great.
As far as shows I've been to, that's probably one of the best shows I've ever fucking been to. We've opened for
great album.
Bands have opened up, you know, for Devo. Devo is freaking awesome. Great guys,
Devo
by
rules,
the way.
Period.
The Godfathers, Ocean Blue.
Nice.
You know, just just, you know that's all the old the early stuff right there. You know, it's a lot of fun.
The old guard.
It's like James. Like James, we talked off the air. It's just like I asked you. It's like how much money did you make at a show? And you go, I didn't make any money, but you got beer in the show, and food. I made $20. Probably one night, you know, and that was, you know, but usually we, like you say, we got fed, we got beers, we went to beers, and sometimes, depending on who was sponsoring the show, you know, you go home with a carton of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's true. It's true. He's telling the truth.
Great album, Nothing Shocking, man. That's a great memory.
Yeah. I still got that album.
I think we all do. I mean, I do have one
funny road story.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I remember when my friend's band opened for Goat Whore. I was a roadie. Stayed sober long enough for them to set up break down.
You had me stayed sober, but please continue.
And I remember when Goat Whore play when I was getting drunk. I watched a friend of mine who had bought a 12-pack of fucking Pabst Blue Ribbon and drank them all the way from while he was on the bus. And apparently he pissed off a dude. I seen that dude fucking crack his skull open.
Whoops.
Ooh. Whoops. That's no bueno, man. No good.
Yeah, it was not good, dude.
Oh, man.
No, that went south real quick.
Yeah.
Guys, I know we got a little bit over 5 minutes. This is a call-in show, 657-383-1554. Sorry for interrupting you, James, one more time. That is 657-383-1554. Gene, coast to coast. Please continue, James. Pardon my interruption.
Anyway, dude got his skull cracked open. I mean, he even took his own t-shirt off just to hold the blood in.
Oh, man.
That's rough.
I've seen some pretty interesting stuff. You know, Joe and I were talking about this, and I'm not going to name the band if I could even remember the band's name. This is an altercation, actually, right there. In the club, you know, on the dance floor, so to speak. Uncomfortable shit. It's like if you're not in my face, I'm not going to involve myself in the situation. But it was one of those things where, it was one of the opening bands. Like I say, even if I could remember, I wouldn't even say who it was because I don't want to talk shit. But there's shit that happens out there, you know.
It happens, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking shit fucking happens at a show.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That's an understatement, too. But that, that's up there for me as far as interesting. I think Patrick summed it up perfectly.
It happens, man.
Jimmy,
I mean, James, I don't know your mileage, but you pretty much got to embrace every part of the tour you've been on. Fortunately, this round, just out over 2 weeks, it didn't have anything that actually stopped us. There were things that, loose battery terminals, we actually got water in the fuel at one point, we believe, but fortunately, everything cleared itself out, and we were able to keep trucking, But you got to embrace everything and accept it, because it's
called
getting
the van. It's called getting the van.
Mm-hmm. These guys did great, with, I got to give myself a pat on the back as far as time restraints and, motel checkout times and,
I've been to shows where I've seen bands that took 45 minutes to set up their fucking bullshit. To set up their fucking bullshit to
Are
play
these,
live.
Now I can see if you're an opening band that you could probably get away with that a little bit more. But if you're like an opening band or a support band, fuck that, dude. That's probably the last time you're ever going to play a show with that band.
It was an industrial metal band called Hell Trash from Atlanta. And they had to set up all their fucking strobe lights and all that fucking bullshit. Just so they can look cool on stage.
That's a really quick way to piss a lot of people off.
Because a lot of the bands that they were opening for lost set minutes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, real quick, guys, I know we got a little bit, just at the minute mark right now before the live portion of this show is over. By the time you hear, this might cut off at some point any minute now, so the live portion will be over. The extra bantering after the live portion you'll be able to hear on our episodes tab.
Yeah.
That is if you're still listening by this point, so... But I don't know what else to ask. I mean, real quick, just before we go off the air, for Patrick, describe your journey to this world, to this crazy world of music, industry, business, punk, in one word, if you can. How would you describe it?
Oh, you're giving me one word?
One word, two words max.
Everything.
Interesting. I like
that. I'd say it's pretty fucking awesome. It's damn near pushing it and an epic stage, man. Because it's you know, this last round was something that I never thought I'd be back in the biz. I never thought I'd be doing extended tours. Opportunities.
Yeah.
Opportunities are out there.
Yeah. And if you think about it, it's not about the money. It's about having fun.
The money helps.
That just goes to show you, man. Yeah. As long as you get it fed, that's, I mean, what it boils down to.
Yeah.
The money does help. The money does help. But
well, if
the money does help, of course.
If you're on the local level, it's not so important because a lot of the time, you're doing it for a free show. You're doing it for friends,
right?
You know, maybe if the venue's serving food, you get something to eat or a drink ticket or something. But if you're doing actually the tour, you got to make money. And I made some money. I think I did all right.
Well, if you remember back in the days when bands used to play American Legions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You didn't make no money, but you got a little bit of beer, you got some smokes, or you got a little bit of food or something. It was like something.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah. Food.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah. I mean, if you're actually touring, most of the time, James, you remember a lot of this stuff. If you're doing doing a couple weeks here or maybe a month here, it all came down to at least make enough money to get to the next place, and hope nothing breaks down.
Yeah.
And I got the van broke down.
Like if the van broke down and you're like sitting there, you're fucked.
Yeah, yeah, and that's on you. All on you as far as the DIY, but. I tell you, the one thing with Slope Records, I got to put it out, was not only the support for the band, but we had their van. If there's a problem, that was not caused by me. It was a non-issue. If there was a breakdown or something mechanical, the label was always there for the band, and that's the one thing that. These guys have going for them right now, Cutters, is the label support. And this label doesn't make any fucking money.
Yeah.
You know, and that's here they are. You know, they're putting these bands out on tours with, Conflict and Black Flag, for fuck's sake. You know.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be about the money. It should be about getting the band out there.
Oh
yeah, there's Dickies. There's so many tours.
Oh, they are out there. Yeah,
they're out there. Yeah, they're just.
It's about the music.
Musically active is how I would like to call it. Yeah, absolutely.
Getting fed is the most important thing, like I mentioned. Hey man, if you could feed yourself and pay yourself, pay your bills off of, making music, you don't need
more
to be making, playing fucking stadium shows and have major, commercial radio success to make a living at playing music. If you can make a living at playing music, well, fuck by all means, more power to you.
Exactly. Yeah. If you look at it, there's not too many underground bands that make money off of their music. And
it's true.
The fucked up thing is the underground bands have more original music than what is popular.
Yeah, they do. A lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them do. Most of them do. Nearly all of them do.
Whether it's metal, punk, or just rock and rollin', period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's not a lot of, as far as, we talk about conventional radio formats that are promoting bands like that. They're not playing the music of the bands like that. And that's kind of like when, I came up with the idea for this show, and I was talking to Joe about it, to kind of dive into these local scenes and, just kind of get some of these bands that don't have that exposure and just kind of have them talk about their scenes and their music and,
mm-hmm.
kind of what's going on in their area. Because there's a lot of good shit out there that I'm sure none of us have heard about. And
there's tons of bands out there that has great music.
Yeah.
There's tons of bands out there that has great music, and we don't get to hear it because they don't get the exposure.
Yeah.
Yep. And we're surrounded by different things, different scenes
I saw
influence.
More bands in that 2 weeks than I had in years, and bands that I would have never been exposed to if I hadn't done that. So, Joe, you want to talk about taking some things back from that tour? It was the exposure to a lot of these bands, in their venues. I mean, that there's a lot of good stuff out there.
Exactly. And real quick, I know Patrick touched on the subject of Black Flag and just putting these bands out there, which is sacred. I mean, obviously, both of you know as well as I do, it's sacred territory for me. But I guess this question is more personal for Patrick as far as sacred stones or anything sacred or just bands that you hold in such personal, sentimental regard. Do you have any of that stuff, Patrick? Things that you might consider, did you just, for lack of a better word, ride their coattails, ride or dies, if that makes sense?
You said something about like sacred grounds. Places like Mabuhay Gardens, Fender's Ballroom, The Stone, the Off-Broadway, Chi Chi Lounge, Ruthie's Inn, 924 Gilman. Gilman Street. Those are some of the places that I'll look back and say, I had a lot of fun there, and that was some fun.
And as far as music, the bands are concerned, are there any that just has had such an impact in the same caliber as, for me, for example, as like a Clash or a Black Flag I've had in my life, Minor Threat, bands of that nature?
I mean, if we didn't
have
the Clash,
that you can say,
if we didn't have the Clash, we wouldn't have a lot of bands out there. Forgive me for saying so, the Sex Pistols. I'm not going to say that they're anything to be held sacred, but we did get PIL and some other stuff.
That's true.
But locally it was, San Francisco is just, once I discovered Dead Kennedy, it was pretty much over. Very, very localized, as far as, lyrically, what they were singing about, a lot of us on the local level, that stuff, more stuff that I could relate to, Moon Over Marin.
Oh yeah.
Jello
spoke to us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I grew up in, Yeah. I grew up in Marin County,
yeah.
So that moon over Marin, I'm going, yep. Yep, all these people with their private beaches and oil spills and, you know, I mean, that's, you know, flipper, you know,
oh, great man.
You know, just, man, fuck ups, San Francisco's, you know, most hated band, you know, fuck ups are like their most, you know, the queers out of San Francisco, I think they were.
I think so, they're out of Cali for sure.
Yeah, Bay Area, but, you know.
Bay Area,
the local,
for sure.
The local scene there, man. You know, everybody's
Operation,
got
Operation Ivy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ivy, yeah. Great band. Phenomenal. I don't think you can talk about punk and not mention California. I mean, RKL, bands like, I know they're more, you know, it's an outstanding band, but still out of Cali.
Yeah.
No bands of that nature. It's fantastic. Jimmy, don't leave me
early,
hanging, man. I know you've got a question.
Early Neurosis was fucking good and fucking...
You're on your own, Jimmy. You're on your own with that one. You're on your own with that one. But I'll leave that for another day. Jimmy, I know you got a question in you, man. Don't leave me hanging. Don't leave me sour, dry out here.
All right.
Throw me to the wolf.
Make it a good one, man.
Make it a good one.
All
man.
Right. The worst show you ever had to do.
The worst show was with 85. It was Cathedral.
The metal band?
They were no, not the metal band. These were San Francisco
Bay
Area
band.
Yeah, I know that,
but
not that.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
not the Cathedral.
Not that Cathedral. Dark Wave, you know, kind of real. Curated.
Bauhaus-y. Susie and the Banshee-esque.
They played a great set. It was a great set. They opened up for Ocean Blue, and I've got a cassette recording of that show that I really wish I could find. But the crowd response, I think, was heavier for Cathedral than it was for Ocean Blue. If you guys know the Ocean Blue, they're kind of a, you know, synth poppy. You know the band.
Yeah, I know Ocean Blue.
I
know Ocean Blue. Yeah, you would think it'd be bigger for Ocean Blue for that time period.
Yeah, for that time. It was a great show. I was doing lights for them at the time. I did light shows as well with some of these shows. Some of the bands, I got to know their sets pretty well, so I could actually program the light board wherever I was to, you know, whatever their set list was going on. But after that Cathedral show, everybody's pumped up, and we went out, and the truck was gone.
Wow.
Really?
And turns out San Francisco's city tow is just notorious, you guys. They're motherfuckers, I'll tell you right now. Every dollar made from that show, and it was a pretty good show. I mean, they made some money that show. Went to get that truck out of impound.
Damn.
Crazy. That's pretty bad.
But I think somewhere along the lines, everybody got a hamburger, and we called it a night. And it was, you know, like I say, take the good with the bad. That was pretty fucked up. But
that is pretty fucked up, yeah.
Yeah. You know, but we were able to get the truck out, and we got it back to the club in time to get the stuff out. So it was pretty messed up.
Yeah, for sure. All right, man. Looks like 15 seconds. I want to thank Patrick for joining us today. Thank Jimmy for riding along the ship with me. And
hell yeah.
Yeah. This is Scene Coast to Coast signing off. Say goodnight, guys.
I have excellent
guys.
News for the world. There's no good such night. Thing as New Wave. It does not exist.